All right. Okay, so let's continue here in Siman Kuf Yud Beis. We really do need to get to Bishul Akum eventually, so let's try to finish up, not today, but by Sunday, B'li Neder, we'll try to finish up the issues relating to Pas Akum. So Shulchan Aruch permits Pas Palter when there's no Jewish baker around. Rama, as we know, permits Pas Palter even when there is a Jewish baker around. Comes along Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalid, and the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Makom Shein Palter Yisrael Matzli L'dasam Atirin Likach Pas Mi Palter Ovid Chavim. According to me, when there's no Palter Yisrael and you're allowed to buy from Palter Ovid Chavim, what happens if a Jewish bakery owns up and closes an oven? Im Higia Sham Palter Yisrael. So if a Palter Yisrael, a Jewish baker, shows up in town, Hare Pas Palter Ovid Chavim Masura, then the Pas Palter of the Ovid Chavim is Aser. Palter Yisrael Pito, until the Jew sells out of whatever bread he's got. And then afterwards, when the Jew closes up shop, you know, he thought he's going to be able to make a killing with a kosher bakery, and he closes up shop after a day. It didn't work out. So then the pas palter becomes the pas palter of kuchavim becomes mutter again. So the shach in Siv Katan Yud Gimel asks the following. He says, Sorachian to lo kasav. He says the source of all of this only tells me that if it's still in the palter's hands, then when the palter Yisrael shows up, it's going to become aser. But let's say I went shopping at a non-Jewish bakery, and then a Palter Yisrael shows up. I already have the stuff. I'm making a simcha for Shabbos. Let's say I buy a whole bunch of cakes and everything else, and I have it all, and challahs and everything else. I have it all ready to go for Shabbos, and then I bought it on Thursday so I could be ahead of the game, because Friday's going to be a busy day, and you got to do your tayamel and everything else that I got to do on Friday. So Thursday I buy it all in advance, and then Friday morning they announce grand opening, Jewish baker Shloimi's Haimish. That's an actual name of a bakery. Let's go. Something else. Chesky's Heimish, decides that he's opening up that morning. So now everything I have is going to become usher. It doesn't say that. It only says that the pas palter of chum is usher when the palter of chum still has it. But if I already bought it, it doesn't say anywhere that that's usher, and therefore says the shach v'nir d'shari. I would think that's mutter. And he says it's mavur that way, it's mafurish that way in the ra'ah, in the bedek habayis. So if you already purchased the bread from the palter before the Jewish baker came to town, you could finish whatever bread you bought, because the point of danger was at the point of purchase, when you're actually interacting with the non-Jew. Right? I'm sitting in my house, I haven't spoken to the non-Jew, I haven't interacted with him, I haven't transacted with him, and all of a sudden, just like that, I could be sleeping. And just like that, it's going to become usher. The bread I have in my kitchen is going to become usher because Chesky's Haimish decided to open up that morning. That's not mistaver at all. So it should turn out that if you bought it be'isser, and then it became mutter, it should be aser. Meaning the flip side of the shach is that if I bought it when, Chesky's Haimish opened up at 9 a.m., I ran to give me a goyish name, Chris's non-Haimish. I ran to Chris's goyish, at 9:30. Right, and I bought all of this, all this bread. So I bought a pe'isser, and then Chesky Simish announces at 10 o'clock. Oh, we didn't know you have to pay taxes or whatever, and they get shut down by they get shut down. And now l'chora it should turn out whatever I bought from Chris's goyish is going to be, L'chora should be Aser. So the Pri Chadosh argues, and he says, no. When the Mechaber says, HaPas Atzmo Shalokach Beheter becomes Aser, he's following the Ra'ah, but he's against the Mechaber. I mean, that Ra'ah is really against the Mechaber that passes like the Rashba. I'm sorry. No, he says the Pri Chadash. The Mechaber is following the Ra'ah that the Shach is quoting. But says Pri Chadash, I don't think it's correct, because Mechzi Kechuchavit Lula, meaning he may be right that that's Pshar in the Mechaber, that it's going to become Masr and that it's going to become Mutzah. The Shach might be right, and that the source is the Ra'ah, and the Ra'ah makes it sound like, while I'm sleeping and the bread is already in my kitchen, that it could flip from Mutzah to Asr to Mutzah to Asr just because the Jewish bakery opened up and closed up or whatever. But says Pri Chadash, I don't think that's correct, because it's a Chuchavit Lula. It's going to be an absolute joke. At breakfast it was mutter, then at lunch it's asr, then at dinner it's going to be mutter again. That doesn't make any sense. So the Mechaber is really going a little bit beyond what the Ra'ah said. The Ra'ah really only allowed, he really only spoke about the bread that the Palter still has, not about the bread that I already purchased. The Shach understands the Mechaber that if you already bought the bread and then the Yisrael comes, that's going to be asr. But the Berhetiv, if you look at the Berhetiv in Sif Katan Zayin, he says that the Girs and the Mechaber is not lokach, but likach. How does that change? Meaning, that's the way we have it. So if you have the girsa of lokach, pas mi palter, So lokach pas mi palter over, right, meaning that would be a huge difference. Meaning makom shein palter yisol matzu ledas hamatirin likach pas mi palter over kachavim. According to the opinion that says that you're allowed to buy pas from palter over kachavim, that's the gears of likach. If you have lokach, then it's a totally different read. Makom shein palter yisol matzu ledas hamatirin. According to if you have no palter yisol, according to those that hold that it's going to be mutter. If lokach pas mi palter ovid kachavim, if you already bought from the palter ovid kachavim, right, that changes the whole thing. That phrase is not just a description of the overall situation, but it's a description of this particular case. It's lokach pas mi palter ovid kachavim. If you already bought from the palter ovid kachavim, imigia sham palter yisrael already pas palter ovid kachavim masura. Then it can still turn usr. But if the girsa is likach, then it doesn't necessarily tell you that it could really turn usr. So the Pri Chadash writes in Osiud Gimel, the ikur kamoshkov sarash mimshar sabayis, the mechzi kichuch vetlula, the bishulchan echad nitar, the neesar, the chazav hutar, ulafichach haikur, shemesol lakach mimenu, vachar kach igia sham palter yisrael, lo yatsa me head tero. He says the ikur is that whatever you bought is kishas kniya at the time that you bought it, and that's it. So let's say, let's talk about a slightly different case. Meaning, what's fundamentally at issue over here is whether we're concerned about chuchavit lula, right? Meaning, is it possible that I can have a piece of bread and someone will ask me, is that bread kosher? And I'll have to say, just give me a second, I need to make a phone call. And I call Chesky's Heimish. You guys still open? And they say, no, we're closed. Oh, yeah, it's kosher. Like, is that possible that you can have such a thing? That it was kosher, isn't kosher? So where this could come up is the following. Let's say you're traveling, and you're in a city where there's no Jewish bakery, right? Sephardi person who's only makel and pas palter when there's no pas Yisrael available. So you're traveling. So you're in a city where there's no Jewish bakery. There are a lot of cities like that in the world. So you're in the airport and you go in and you buy some Entenmann's in the airport. So you go and you buy some good pas palter when you're in the airport. Fine. And then you land in New York. You get on your, you board your flight and you land in New York. So the second you land in New York, are you not allowed to eat that Entenmann's donut that you bought in, wherever in... somewhere that doesn't have a Jewish bakery, small town USA, whatever, right? So according to the Mechaber, the way the Shach understands it, it should be Asr. But according to the Berhetev and Pri Chadash, it should be Mutter. Even according to the Pri Chadash, it's possible that, it's funny, that I might be able to eat it, but am I allowed to give it to my wife and kids? Right? Meaning... For me, when I bought it, when it came to my possession, it was mutter. So maybe we say it would be chuchavit lula if it's going back from being mutter or not to asr. Right? That would be the Pri Chadash. when I get home, though, and my kid says, oh, Entenmann's, we never get to have Entenmann's, right? Because we hold it straight. But I'm loving it, right? You know, I'm enjoying it. So now, can I, according to the Brich Chadash, can I share it with the kid? He never had any, or my wife, she never had it when it was mutter. So that's an interesting question. Like, how much of a din is it in the gavro or the chavtza? Okay. Then the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hei says, Yesh Omrim. He says, even according to his opinion, that you should not buy from a non-Jewish palter if there's a Jewish palter around. If the palter is making better bread or a different type of bread, then you can buy from the palter, which we've said many times, and that's considered a Shas V'chat. I mean, we kept on talking about two Eterim, according to the Mechaber, right? You have the Heter of no palter Yisrael available, which is one type of Shas V'chat, and the Heter of that this bread is better. So the Kaf HaChayim in Sivkat and Lamed adds, Shekein Noagin Be'ir Baghdad, Shekonim Mi Palter Goy, Afil b'makom sheish palter Yisrael, v'gam shel palter Yisrael hu yafe. V'hainu mishum d'bi'iram yesh riboy, v'imkonim akol mi palter Yisrael yapas b'yoker harbe. Interesting thing, says the Kaf HaChayim. In Baghdad, apparently, there was a delicious Jewish bakery. And so there was a palter Yisrael. And the palter Yisrael made delicious, delicious food. Problem is, if everyone were to shop at that Jewish bakery, the prices would go through the roof. Everyone was because it's all supply and demand, right? So if the demand on the Jewish bakery was so high, the prices would go through the roof. So the Kaf HaChayim says that that's also a Shas HaChak, and that would be enough for Svardim to be able to buy at the non-Jewish bakery, which is interesting because, you know, as long as the prices are low, it's not a Shas HaChak. So, like, who gets to be the one that buys at the Jewish bakery? Like, do they have to draw lots? Like, you know, that I get to buy at the Jewish bakery with the low prices, but we can't have everyone buy at the Jewish bakery. Obviously, now you just let it play out. You know, you tell people it's mutter, and then whoever's a little more makbid about things will be a little more makbid.
What I'm going to go against what we said yesterday about the story with the pizzas, that it's like a loss to the owner of the pizza store?
No, this is a loss to the whole community. There's a loss to the whole community because all the prices are going to go up for baked products.
But it's also about something that's like, it could happen, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, no, but with the pizza store, the reason why I didn't think it was a hefset is because it was a hefset to one guy. Right? It wasn't, and that guy's not the customer. Right? The customer can go buy the product somewhere else at the same price. So that's what Kaf HaChayim says. Now, according to the Ramah, this halach is totally irrelevant because you're allowed to buy from the palter anyway. But remember, the shach holds they should be machmir like the mechaber. So, so according to the shach, the sif does have ramifications for Ashkenazim if you're machmir like that. But then the Kaf HaChayim says, I would never buy from a Jewish baker anyway because they don't filter it out for bugs, and the non-Jews are much cleaner, and whatever, he has a pretty decent anti-Semitic rant. but no, he's just saying that the metzius apparently in Baghdad was that the delicious bakery, part of the protein content of the bread was that you were getting all these bugs in the bread. So he said it's not worth all those yisum daraisa, you know. But okay, that's a metzius question that was unique to his situation in Baghdad. What goes on in Baghdad now? Probably not so many palter Yisraels there in Baghdad right now. Okay, Shulchan Aruch Siv Vav. Shulchan Aruch talks about, we already discussed this largely, about which products have a din of Pas Yisrael. So Shulchan Aruch tells us, B'makom shenagu hater, b'pashal palter, afilu hu nilash b'beitzim o shebeitzim tochem al panav, mutter. Aval an panda, that if you're knowing heter bepas palter, even if the dough is kneaded with eggs, which is something that was not so common for Sfardim, because that was not that Sfardim don't consider that bread usually. If it's kneaded with eggs, that would be pasul b'kislin to begin with. But even if you make an egg challah, like Ashkenazim always did, and, you know, until recently with the sourdough craze, but before that, like Ashkenazim always ate egg challahs. Osha beitzim tochem al panav, or you smear some egg on the top of the on the surface of the bread. So that's mutter. But an anpanda that an Ovid Chavim bakes, you're not even allowed to eat the bread content of that. So what's this about? So this is based on a Rashba that the Shach explains in Sivkat and Tezvav that there's no problem of Bishul Akum over here based on the egg content, right? Eggs are subject to bishul akum, so I might think that you don't have a heter over here because of bishul. So it's not because kimcha ikr. The flour is the main ingredient. But if it's made with eggs and no one was checking for blood spots, don't you have to be choshish for that? Nah, you don't have to worry about blood in the eggs. Most eggs don't have blood spots, and b'diavad, you don't have to worry that there might have been blood spots. There's no chashash that the baker used an egg from a non-kosher bird. Those eggs aren't easily found. They're not readily available, so you can assume that that's kosher. But if there's an egg filling with dough around it, so then the mechaber says that's also. That's the anpanda, that it's like an egg, croissant egg and cheese, right? So it's got egg inside the bread, and you surround it or a bagel with egg or something like that, except it's built that way. It's made that way with the egg on the inside. But the Shulchan Aruch had said that not only are the eggs mutter when they're mixed in the batter, when they're mixed in the dough, but it's also mutter when it's on top of the loaf, when it's on the surface of the loaf. So the Rama argues based on Tosfos. Right, and the Rama writes, V'yesh osum l'pasha beitzim tochem al panav, mishum shein be'en, ve'enim betelim l'gabe apas, v'yesh o mishum shulio v'chavim. He says if the egg is independent of the bread that's underneath it, so then you got to ask mishum bishalakum. The egg is independent, then you can't say that it's batel to the pas, and therefore that's going to be osur. So that's machlokes mechaber Rama. So if you have bread that has egg on the surface of the bread, by the way, when you make challahs, if it has a shine on the top of the challah, how does it get that shine? Women have, or whoever's making challah, men also, they have this paintbrush kind of thing that they dip the paintbrush in egg and they paint the challahs with the egg, and that gives it the shine on the top of, on the top of the egg. So is that what we're talking about over here? That's going to be bishul? And therefore, you have to be machmer with all the chumras of bishul akum. If you have a little egg on the surface, if you're Ashkenazi, that this is a kula for the svardim and a chumra for the Ashkenazim. So the Aruch HaShulchan Sivkat Chaf Aleph writes, Vida shezeh shekasav Rabbeinu Arama b'tchilas tvar of lesser b'pas shebeitzim tochem al panav ein hakavana shemoshkin meshicha kolshu kederach shahanu moshkin achalos be'erev Shabbos Kodesh. Not like what we do, where we just put a little thin layer of egg on the surface of the challah. Devadai ze muter. Shalas be mashasha. That's nothing. Mekal v'chomer hu milekach v'kichlach. The kal v'chomer from the baked items that the Rama identifies. Ela hakavana shatuach al panav beitzim mamish. It's like an egg sitting on top of the dough. That's what shemartichim harbe beitzim b'machvas v'shofchin al apash yish b'dam mashal beitzim. You make a whole thing of scrambled eggs and you pour it out on top of the dough. That's what they're talking about. Ramaz Isser is not a case of our thin layer like we do with challah, where it's like a little glaze over the challah. And therefore, you'd be mutter to buy pas palter that's been glazed with egg yolk, even according to the Ramaz. The OU's psak is like this Aruch HaShulchan. OU policy is like the Aruch HaShulchan. The Grun Sivkat in Yodalid says Usvara Harishon Nesfirle Kivan She'eno Elo the Mara Chazus Olav Milsa. Moshkos Rashi Perchas Tzvachin. Whoa, what does the Grun say? Svara Harishon the first day. I mean, what? The Mechaber who's Matir. Why is the Mechaber Matir? Because it's a thin layer of nothing. That's why the Mechaber is Matir. Mashma. That the Rama, who's machmir, is machmir even when it's a thin layer of nothing, right? Against the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, the Rama's machmir, but he's talking about you make a whole pan of scrambled eggs and you pour it over the bread afterwards. If it was just the glaze that we put on challah, that's nothing. But the Gros says, no, that's the svara for the Mechaber. The Mechaber's makel because it's a thin layer, and yet the Rama's still machmir. If you look in the Ramah and Taurus Chatas and in the Chachmas Adam, they seem to assume like the Gra, that even the light glaze of egg is going to be Aser. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, it would seem that the Mechaber is Matir even in a case where there's a lot of egg poured on it. So how's the Aruch HaShulchan going to explain the Mechaber? Meaning, why is that not Bishul Akum? If you have a ton of egg poured on it, right? Especially if you're Mota, that in Panda is going to be Aser, that if there's an egg filling, that's going to be Aser. So that's a shverkeit in the Aruch HaShulchan, right? Meaning it's more mistaver, l'chora, like the I shouldn't say mistaver. Mistaver can mean two things. Meaning, logically, if you would have asked me, would I have thought that we care about the little bit of glaze that they brought? I would have thought that that's totally batal, that's nothing. And therefore, it's not mistaver that it should be asur. But the Maisa, the Raman, the Mechaber are arguing about something. Right? So what's more mistaver? That they're arguing about that, or that they're arguing about a case where you mamish poured eggs all over it? So it's not so mistaver that they're arguing about a case where your mamish poured eggs all over it, because the Mechaber himself says that if there's an egg filling, then it's going to be aser. So it's more mistaver l'chora to learn the Shulchan Aruch like the Gra. This comes up with certain products, not so many products. But let's say you buy a cake with an OU, and you decide you want to be machmir on this. I learned Kufi Beis, I'm more convinced by what it says in the Gra than what it says in the Aruch HaShulchan. So I'm going to be machmir against the OU on this. So can I just like peel off the top? You know, some people don't eat the crust anyway, right? You look around the table after the challah has been distributed, you know, a few minutes later, right? And you could see different eating habits, right? So, you know, one of my children always insisted that he gets the end piece of the challah. Which is weird, no? Most people don't want the end piece, right? So I remember he revealed to us recently that the reason he wanted the end piece was when he was younger, he was a zaftig, robust, husky young man. And he found that the end piece was always the largest piece. So that's why he was looking for the end piece. Like, I don't really actually like the end piece. But I ate it enough times that my wife was roommates with one of Rabbi J.J. Schachter's daughters. And is Jonathan here? So your mother-in-law used to, do you know this, that your grandfather used to send her the end piece of the challah to Israel every week when she was in seminary, because she liked the end piece of the challah, right? So there, if you don't remember J.J. Schachter, it's like, it's on brand, you know? So he used to like FedEx an end piece of the challah every week. So, no, isn't that beautiful? But did she eat it? I don't know. But she certainly knew her father loved her, right? You know. So why am I mentioning that? I have no idea. You look around the table. So some people don't eat the crust at all. So if you're not going to eat the crust, let's say you're machmir like the Rama, and you hold like the Gra's reading of the Rama. So meaning Ashkenazim are machmir like the Rama. Many people are not happy with the Aruch HaShulchan's reading of the Rama. So you can be machmir like the Gra's reading of the Rama. Is that like a reasonable chumrah you could take, that you'll just eat the inside of the challah and not the top of the challah, just peel off the crust of the challah? So we paskin that blios of bishul akum are also problematic, but we're mekil that bishul akum is batel berov, and it doesn't require shishim. So the blios l'chora aren't going to be a problem, because whatever blios there are going to be batel berov in the rest of the challah. Probably doesn't come up all that much, but that's something to discuss. Now, the Avnei Nezer asks that this tiny amount of glaze is l'chora anyway not olal shulchan malachim. Meaning, even from a Bishul Akum perspective, there's another heter. That by Bishul Akum, anything that's not olal shulchan malachim, anything you couldn't serve at a banquet, is not going to be Bishul Akum. So the little glaze that you're putting on the challah is not olal shulchan malachim. So anyway, it's going to be motor. Meaning, mimanav shach. Either the Ramah's only machmir when you dump a whole bunch of eggs on it, or even if the Ramah's machmir in a smaller amount, but it's not olal shulchan malachim, then it's not subject to Bishul Akum. So one of the unresolved issues about Bishul Akum that we'll have to get to is whether we say that all of a particular type of food, no matter how you happen to prepare it, is olal shulchan malachim, meaning is all meat olal shulchan malachim, even hot dogs. Are all potatoes olal shulchan malachim, even potato chips? Or do you say, no, if you prepare potatoes in a way that they would serve it at a chasana, right, where it's in the gnocchi that has the pulled beef on it, right, so then that's olal shulchan malachim. But if you're going to prepare potatoes as potato chips, so then that's not olal shulchan malachim. So Avnei Nezer hold that eggs are olal shulchan malachim regardless how they're prepared. So Avnei Nezer says this is the hechrich. Because over here you see the Ramah's worried about Bishul Akum. The Pasha reading of the Ramah is he's talking about a thin glaze of nothing. It's clearly not olal shulchan malachim in that way. And therefore you see that it's... that we look at eggs in general. Now, l'chora, one could have said that's no hechrich at all. right? Because it is Olal Shulchan Malachim. Why is it Olal Shulchan Malachim? Because on the bread, it's Olal Shulchan Malachim. Meaning it's an independent part of the bread, but it's served with the bread, on the bread. So from an Olal Shulchan Malachim perspective, this egg is being, you're being malid Olal Shulchan Malachim. As far as Bishul Akum, since it's above the bread and not mixed into the dough of the bread, I have to worry about it. So it's not necessarily a hechrik in that broader conversation of whether you look at a food group or a particular food. When we get to that, when we talk about salmon, is that something that's nechel kamo shulchai? Right? You also say you look at a food group or that particular food, how it's prepared. Because salmon is most often cooked, but not when it's in sushi. Right, when it's in sushi, it's most often not, or sashimi, it's most often not cooked. So, do you look at the way it's prepared in that particular, or do you look at the food group? Questions? Yeah.
How can we do bittul if it's nikar iser?
No, it's not nikar iser. Meaning, you're not eating the crust. That's where it's nikar. The blios.
You can't eat it even though it's bittul.
Right. Meaning, what I'm saying, bittul is what if a person wanted to cut off the top and eat the white part of the bread. So you might say, well, it's got blios from the eggs that go through. It's baked together with the yeah, but whatever blios it has, that's going to be bottles. So you're eating the white part.
Well, I never said that was a bigger joke. Are you ripping off the top and saying the middle's good to eat?
Why?
I don't know what you were saying before. That, I don't know. Like that
would be it's a joke if you take the same thing and matarasu. But if you have something where you don't cut out a part of it, that's... I think it's okay.
Why are we assuming that the glaze is part of the atiyah? Why are we saying it's separate? Meaning, like, it doesn't seem to be independent just because it's the glaze on top.
Because eggs are subject to bishul, not subject, meaning, that as far only chamish mina dagan are subject to pass
out. According to an Ashkenazi, it wouldn't be bishul, right?
According to Sephardi also, it wouldn't be bishul if I kneaded it together, right? That's what the Mechaber is saying.
Then putting it on top.
Yeah, the fact that it's independent, that it's separate, because it's recognizable on top.
If the
Grah Paschal
is like the
Machab,
is it reasonable to be
Machab? The Grah Paschal is like the Machab, I think
he's
just reading the Ramah differently.
I thought Rabbi he says that
if
it's like the first day.
No. When he explains the first day, he says that the first day is talking about a case that the reason the first day is Machmir is Mekil. The reason the mechaber is mekil is because it's nothing. It's just chazusa d'alma. And aval b'kein, the Rama's machmir. Meaning that's the way he's learning the Rama. That even though it's chazusa d'alma, the Rama's still machmir. So if you learn like the Gra, then l'chari you have to be machmir. So that's what emerges from here. Meaning it doesn't like seem like such an exciting, you read the Sif, it doesn't seem like such an exciting topic. But this is like, this is like an issue. There are hashkachas that do not pass like the OU over here, that would not allow a bakery to bake challahs that have a glaze of egg unless the Jew turns on the oven, right?
Why do they hold like the Aruch Shulchan? Like the Gra seems like Tasha.
I don't got to ask for Shechter. I mean, you'll talk to him and he'll probably say, it's a double pasha, the Aruch HaShulchan. I don't know. But apparently he's convinced. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if it's him or Rebelsky or who set the policy, but that's the OU's, or at least it was at one point, I assume it still is, the OU policy. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch and Siv Ches tells us, right, we already discussed Siv Zayin. In Siv Ches, the Shulchan Aruch says that if there's a place where Ein Palter Matzoy Klal, then even Paspal Abayis is Mutter. And he brings it as a Stam. So we already pointed out that it seems to be a Stira to Siv Beis. The Aruch HaShulchan explains that in Siv Beis there was an opportunity to buy from a Palter guy, but over here is talking about there's no opportunity to buy from a Palter at all. It's just only Balabatim. So it's a metzius that would never ever happen nowadays. Right? There's nowhere that there's, that there's not a supermarket, that there's not somewhere to buy some sort of, bread baked by a palter. So Prichadish writes that how big of a shasel chatz does it have to be made like this? Malcolm Shane palter matzu klal. So he says if you'd have to go 3 days without bread, that would be enough. That's in Chas Yitzchak in Chela Gimel in Mem Hey as a tshuva. If there's an Isser Bal Tashkis to throw away bread, that the Shulchan Aruch says is mutter, but you want to be machmir. Right? Meaning, let's say you hold me a kradin, it's mutter, but you still want to be machmir. So he says, nah, that's never a thing. Right? Meaning, a lot of times people will ask before Pesach, let's say. I get all the time before Pesach. People will say, I have like 3/4 of a box of Cheerios. I'm doing mechira anyway. So normally I would throw away any open boxes, but like it's such baltashris to get rid of open packages. So whenever it's a mitzvah, it's not baltashris. Meaning that baltashris, you're doing it for no reason. But if you're doing it for a mitzvah, so that's something this baltashris, that's what Minchas Yitzchak points out. You want to be mahadir a mitzvah, so you want to do an extra zehirus. He compares it to the halach of switching a urea in a Sefer Torah that's kosher but not mehudar for one that's mehudar. Meaning, let's say we have one of our Sefer Torah in Shul that for some reason we use it on Rosh Chodesh, and that happens to be the place where they have like a urea that's clearly written by a different Sefer, totally different everything. The size of the urea, like everything is like totally different. And that one urea, we should probably only use it like Chasim Torah, Chasim Breish, because it's just like so obvious, so blatant. But so if someone wants to upgrade that Sefer Torah and get a new urea written and put it in, more Mahudu urea written, we don't say that's Baal Tashchus in the old urea. You're allowed to do that. That's not a violation. So Kol Shekin, by bread, you would say, even by Sefer Torah, you would say, Kal V'chomer, you would say it by bread. So the person wants to be Machmir. I mean, let's say, take that example of the Gra. Of course I pass like the OU, but, you know, it's a nice chumrah. Shabbos, I'm sitting around the table. I don't really love crust that much anyway. So, so I'll only eat the inside of the chal. But Baal Tashchus on the crust. No, it's not Baal Tashchus on the crust. Okay, siftes. Shulchan Aruch tells us what it says in the Gemara, that there are 3 different actions that a Jew can do that can transform bread into pas Yisrael. When baking bread, you have to preheat the oven. You can't put bread in the oven and then turn on the oven. It's unlike by cooking where you can do that usually. It doesn't really require preheating. By baking bread, you need to preheat the oven. Then they put it in the bread. And as you bake throughout the day, you need to make sure that the heat is maintained, that the oven doesn't cool down. So in our ovens, of course, the heat is maintained because it's a gas oven. So there's a gas line that keeps feeding the fire. But in the old days, they had to keep fueling the oven to make sure it keeps on going throughout the day. So the Mechaber says, if a guy lit the fire and a Jew baked, or a Jew lit the fire and a guy baked, or a guy lit the fire, a guy did the baking, but a Jew did something to keep the fire going, all of it's mutter. Even if you only threw a little piece of wood in the oven, it's matter all the bread. And if you just fan the flame, that's the same as being mechata b'kachalim. Anything you do to affect the size of the flame, when it comes to pas akum, it's going to be good enough. So that's what the Rama adds at the end. And even just blowing on the coals makes the bread pas Yisrael. The reason for these coolers, Shulchan Aruch says, is because you only need a heker to remind us that pas akum is asur. There are coolers in afiyas akum that we do not have in bishul akum. And this is one of them. The Gra writes that it's just like in Baba Kama about a tarnagol that's mazik, that blowing is like gufo. It's like a maisa biyadayim. So here too, blowing is good enough. That you just fan the flame, that's considered as if it's an action that you did with your body, which is an interesting dimyon to make. So Yerucha Shulchan points out that it's important to make like a transition between siftes and sifyud. That when siftes is heterogamer. Siftes is something that's mefurish in the Gemara. It's a heterogamer. It's not for shasat chak. It's for any time. When you switch to Sifyud, the heterim that we have in Sifyud are for Shasat Chak only. So what happens in Sifyud? Shulchan Aruch says, Im afu b'tanur al yidei v'chadim gimel pamim b'yom echad. Let's say a guy was baking the oven 3 times in one day. V'chshiru atanur al yidei kiseim b'beis hapa'amim o b'pam ha'shlishis lo v'chshiru mutter. And the first 2 times you remember to throw a little splinter into the oven, a little piece of wood into the oven to do something to the fire. 3rd time you didn't. So it quotes from the Mordechai that's going to be mutter anyway. So it was used three times during the course of the day. First two times you threw something in, third time you didn't. That's going to be mutzah. So the gra in Oschaf over here, im afu, tasakas harishonos mo'ilos lehesek ha'achron yoser mikisa mechita, b'kol shkein shekam nishu g'chalem yasakas harishonos. What's the gra saying? That the oven is still hot, and there are coals left over from the first two original batches, so the bread is considered pas yisrael, because this bread is being baked by the heat that was generated from the first two times when the Jew did participate. And the Rama argues, and he says, v'yesh omrim dim hichshar atanu pamachas, v'lo omer atanu me'is le'is, v'lo hesek, afilu afo bo kach kama yamim, hakol mutar mikoach hechshar rishon. V'yesh l'smoch al zed. Rama argues, he says, we could be way more mekel. That even if a Jew throws in a tiny piece of wood into the stove's flame, and there's hasn't been a 24-hour period where the oven was just sitting idle without anything in it, then any bread baked in that oven is considered pas yisrael, even if the toothpick was thrown in a few days ago, which is a wild, wild, wild kula. Meaning the Jew can, mashkiach walks into the bakery on Sunday morning, takes one of the, a toothpick, right? Chucks it in the oven Sunday morning, and they bake all week with that oven. It's fine. They keep on as long as it didn't go 24 hours with nothing going on. So the Shach says that if you're not sure if the oven sat idle for 24 hours, it's a suffix Rabbanu Lekula, right? Even more makel than the Ramah. And the Gilui Marasha points out, he points to Simon Kuf Yud where it talks about his chazik isura. When you have something that's becheskas isser, and there's a suffix whether the isser is removed, we wouldn't say suffix rabban lekula, right? So it's an explicit mishnah in the Sedaim. So Gilmar Shah, by alluding to this, is asking a kasha, meaning this oven is becheskas isser. This oven we know was lit by a non-Jew. All the baking was done by a non-Jew. Everything is becheskas isser. What am I not sure? I'm not sure if it was hutar ali de Yisrael, if the toothpick that the Jew threw in on Sunday morning is still active, or if it was inactive for 24 hours. So I have a suffix whether it was hukshar ali de Yisrael. You can't say suffix rabban l'kula on that. Becheskas isser, we have a suffix whether the heter applied. We don't say suffix rabban l'kula. That's in Kuf Yud. If you find a mikveh to be chaser, so do you follow the cheskas mikveh that was shalem, or that the person was becheskas tumah? So here also, the oven was becheskas iser, but the bread was becheskas heter, because it was flour and water before it went into the oven, and flour and water is all kosher. Right? The only question is, by being baked in that oven, did it become aser? So maybe that's the answer. That in a chinami, if you had a cheskas iser and the suffix whether you were matir the cheskas iser, so then you can't say something about l'kula. But over here, cheskas iser on the oven, but cheskas heter on the bread. Similar to the, you know, madad mikvah v'nimtza chaser. You measure a mikvah one day and you realize, only 39 sa'a in the mikvah. So you say, the mikvah had a cheskas kashrus, because last time we measured it was 41 sa'a. So the mikvah was becheskas kasher. But the other time I say, no, anyone that went into that mikvah was becheskas tamei. And the shaila is, was it mitar that person? So it's still difficult. The entire nidon is on the baking. So the cheskas heter of flour and water, lechora, really shouldn't be a cheskas heter. Meaning the whole nidon is about the baking. So maybe the shach means that the case is that we don't have a cheskas iser on the oven. Not clear exactly how that would be. Now, as we mentioned, I'm going to take advantage of your extra 5 minutes. As we mentioned, the Aruch HaShulchan, Tiskel Mitzvahs, as we mentioned, the Aruch HaShulchan says to rely on these kulas of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in Sif Yud only b'shas hachak. Meaning, in order to consider the bread pasul, ideally the Jew should do one of three things. Put the bread in the oven, turn on the fire, or stoke the coals. Throwing a toothpick into the flames and relying on the original lighting is for shas hachak situations. Also, some of the achronim don't rely on the 24-hour kula of the Ramah with our modern ovens, because what was the whole 24-hour kula of the Ramah? That if it sat idly for 24 hours, that's when you have a problem. But if less than 24 hours it sat idly, you don't have a problem. Why? Mehechidezi, what's 24 hours about? because their ovens used to get so hot, it would take so long to cool down that you could assume if it didn't sit with nothing for 24 hours, then it probably still retained, it still had some residual heat from the first baking. How long does it take from the time you turn off your oven until your oven is room temperature? The way our ovens work, it's not very long. It's an hour, a little more. It's not very long for the oven to go back down to room temperature. So a lot of the Acharim are not happy with that kula anyway. If you look at the Gra in Sif Kadul Chav, which goes on Sif Yud, he says, Hasekos harishonis mo'ilus la'asak achron yosur mikisu mochita, that Terim of Sif Yud, the Gra seems to say, not like the Racha Shulchan, he seems to say that the Terim of Sif Yud are stronger than the Terim of Sif Tes. But be that as it may, it seems that we have Heterim here in Sif Tes and Heterim in Sif Yud. If you say like the Racha Shulchan, the Heterim in Sif Yud are only for Shasat Chak. And if you say, and even if you say not like the Racha Shulchan, it's not so pashut that the Ramah's particular Heter of 24 hours applies at all nowadays. Now, where this is all going to lead us to is we're going to have to figure out how this translates to modern ovens and how hashkachas deal with it when you have a bakery. You have a factory that's working in the Midwest. You don't have a mashkiach showing up there every day. So mashkiach comes at the beginning of the week and he turns on the oven. So how much of a shas v'chak does it have to be to rely on a mashkiach just showing up once a week and letting the oven go? Right? And what else can be done? So can you have like someone in the OU office type into his computer and then it turns on an oven in Iowa somewhere, right? They have such, right? Just so you can go on an app now, you have on the phone, right? Where you could turn on, if you modernize your kitchen, if you redo your kitchen, now, achshav, right? Bizmanenu, you could put all your appliances on an app and you can easily turn things on and off. It's going to solve all the bishlakum issues, right? But there was a particular kula that the Star K, Rabbi Heinemann had implemented relating to this, and maybe we'll start with that on Sunday. But Sunday is going to be Lina, that's when we'll really finish up some Kofi Beis. So we'll start with that on Sunday. That's just
all right, everybody.